TNS at 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. I'm Beckler.
Tuesday. I'm Shauna.
You're Shauna.
I am.
We worked really, really hard on this first segment.
Yeah.
And we made a video too, and you can see it on our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram if you want to see it again or if you want to share it. But yeah,
all of the social medias, we've got it up there for you. So
here it is. One of our listeners, Brad, sent us this video from a radio station in London, Ontario.
Yeah.
And this DJ there, Jim Kelly, had taken 40 Ontario town names and put them into this story he had made up about hooking up with someone.
It's unbelievable. Like, we listened to it and just died laughing. So,
and I don't even think he's the first person to do it. There was a famous clip from a few years ago where a guy had done it with hockey player names.
Yeah, I tried to look up who it was, but I can't find his name. I can find the story, but nobody's crediting him, so.
But Brad said you guys should try this. So we're going to give it a try with Alberta town names. Are you ready, Shauna?
I'm ready. So the phone rang last weekend, and it was Hannah, inviting me to a good old-fashioned Rocky Mountain house party.
Where is it at, I ask? At Claire's home, just across the field.
Perfect, but can more people come with me? I'm with my brooder.
I'm Devin!
He shouts from the passenger seat.
Of course he can come, Hannah replies, and we were on our way.
When we got to Claire's, it was pretty smoky river in the house. Lots of people were taking Okotoks and getting high level.
There was one woman there who was dropping Hintons all night. Said her name was Bonneville. She was a bit old for a Youngstown like me, but she was totally serial, so I thought, let's bridge that gap and see where it goes.
I pinocchioed her to get her attention and motioned to the car stairs. She didn't even hesitate and followed me right to the bedroom.
We were totally ready to have sex, Myth. Pulled out my cock ring and my ball sack, and then something happened.
I wasn't able to get hardesty, so I went to the Volcan, lacombed my hair, splashed some cold lake water on my face, and told myself to manning up and focus on the Wetaskiwin at hand.
I came back out and was locked eyes with her. Her beaver lodge was ready for my lodge pole, so I started at her toe fields. Pinch her creaked or picked her butt, was ready to go.
While I was away, she had spruced up her grove and said, don't worry, I've done this vermilion times before. And when I put an oi in there, I could tell it was like throwing a hot dog down a Vox hallway.
And her Chestermere wasn't as cam-rosy as it once was. That Milk River dried up long ago.
But after all, when you're hunting cougars, it's not all rainbow lakes and sundries.
A friend of mine was interviewing people for a job, and she was telling me about the applicants that were coming up. And she said, every single young person that comes to an interview right now asks two questions, only two. And the two are, how much vacation time do we get? And the other one is just talking about how much time you can work, like, outside of the office, whether it's, you know, just on your own or at home, or
You
can set up an office in your house. And I was just like, that's really funny to me. It's quite typical of young people, though, I think. Like, that is kind of we've talked about this with our boss before. That's something that people are going for more and more these days. They're talking about vacation rather than money.
Well, the second one kind of makes sense to me because I think you're right. More offices are moving away from working in a traditional office environment and kind of letting their employees work wherever they work best.
Mm-hmm.
The first one asking about vacation days is, that's the old millennials are working to live rather than living to work thing, right?
It's the wanderlust thing. It's the people
wanderlust.
Who love, they love the pensive.
Wanderlust.
Yes, exactly. Wanderlust. And then the Instagram photos of them, like, above, you know, peering out over mountaintops and that type of thing.
So how did those applicants do? How did your friend react to being asked those questions?
Well, she was saying that the minute that somebody asks about vacation, they're immediately ruled out. Now, she was talking about the other question, and she's saying, well, technically you can work out of the office, so that one I'm okay with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was just like, you can't ask, not within the first 30 seconds of an interview.
It is because she thinks, like, okay, you haven't even started here and you're already like wondering when you can get out.
That's kind of the impression you give people, I think, right?
I could see that from an employer's perspective or from a recruiter's perspective, but at the same time, I think we almost need to change the way that we approach job interviews. Like, it's this whole song and dance where you have to pretend like, you know, like, this is your dream to be working at this company. When, if you're lucky, it is. Like,
right.
I would say that was the case when I interviewed here.
Right.
But that's not the case for everybody.
Yeah.
And even talking salary is so taboo. Like, the interview should start with a number.
Mm.
Because this is the relationship. I'm here to provide a service to you, and in exchange, you're going to give me money. That's all this is. Everything else is extra.
And if you ever worked at a minimum wage job and you're trying to be interviewed for it, and then, yeah, you're supposed to act as if this is the dream job, the job that you want for the rest of your life, and you're like, I hope not. Like, I aspire to move beyond this at some point.
Yeah, what are your long-term goals within the company? Well, none. Like, I'm here to collect a paycheck, yes, and I'll do a good job. And then I'm going to
move. Find somewhere better,
I'm going to move along.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Shauna, sometimes I get creative when I'm disciplining my 3-year-old son, Bo.
How so?
I don't like disciplining him, so I try to have a little fun with it. Mm. Like, for example, when he's getting a timeout, I'll tee him up like a ref handing out a technical foul in basketball. I'll be like, number 3, White, you're out of here. What? That's bull ref. Keep talking, 3. You'll get another one. That's garbage, and you know it, ref, as he heads off to his room. That's what I do.
I hope that Bo doesn't swear at you like that, because that's a problem.
He's got a mouth on him. It's a bit of a hothead. A bit of a head case, as they say in the sporting world.
Where did he learn that language from? Was it you?
We sit courtside at a lot of basketball games.
Okay.
Or if he's screaming, like, I'll scream back at him like Nancy Kerrigan did when Tonya Harding hit her in the knee with that pipe.
Oh, my God.
He'll be like, ah, and I'll be like, why?
Why?
And then he gets even angrier. The thing is, I don't want to hit him, though. So this is my way of, like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, if he's screaming, I'll be like, you're going to get a tap. And I'll, like, gently tap his face mm-hmm. as a reminder. But I don't know. Like, if you had kids, Shauna, would you spank them? Were you spanked growing up?
I wasn't really spanked. The odd... trying to think. I'm like, the odd time when I was really in trouble, I was spanked. But it wasn't an, like, thing that happened often in our house.
And, like, a hard spank to hurt you?
It was a hard spank. Yeah? Oh, yeah. It was a spank to let you know.
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s. But, it was maybe once in my life, maybe twice. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was, like, every second day,
you
at
got
least.
Spanked every day?
Oh, yeah, but
whacked
I was...
whacked around a little?
Yeah. I was a problematic child. That's energetic, maybe.
That was what they said about me, too. Energetic. Mm-hmm.
So, if you had kids, would you spank them? Would you?
I don't think so, because you get in trouble for that. Like, I wouldn't want to be that parent that, you know, gets social services called because I'm hitting my kid.
Yeah, so, I know.
It sucks, though, because you do need to discipline your child. And I think people, now that they can't hit your kids, struggle with how to discipline them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always maintained that I wouldn't ever spank my kids because I didn't want them to think that like violence is what we resorted to, right? Like I wanted to teach them like reason and argumentation, and but it's also very difficult to reason with a 3-year-old sometimes. Yeah. Like you kind of run out of negotiational space there.
Yeah, you can't sit down and really like have discussions about psychology with them quite yet. You know, you can't sit down and go, well, let's talk about why you're doing this and what you're feeling. Like that doesn't quite work yet. Maybe down the line.
X92.9.
I don't know if you've seen this controversy with H&M's recent advertising campaign. I don't even know if it's an advertising campaign, but it was just a picture on their website. There was this photo of a kid wearing one of their garments. It was a sweater that said, coolest monkey in the jungle on it. The problem was that the little kid was black.
Yes, I saw this.
He was wearing this. And, well, Sean and I will preface this by saying that we are both white. Mm-hmm. It's not for us to say whether or not this is offensive or not. You can make up your own mind on that. But
yeah, and if it's offensive, then that's really crappy.
But, yeah, we're not going to comment on that. No. I mean, some prominent black people have commented on it. Mm-hmm. The Weeknd actually cut ties with the company. He had an endorsement deal with them, and he is no longer working with them. He said he was deeply offended by it. LeBron James posted on Instagram about it.
Yeah.
But what we're more interested in is that Sean and I are always on the lookout for what we call outrage marketing. And it's when a company deliberately offends people to get themselves in the news.
Yeah.
To get more eyes on their ads.
Well, it's it would cost more money to get the amount of exposure that this outrage has given them in advertisements than they could possibly afford. So doing this is completely free. They just do something that offends people. It spreads like wildfire online, as we know how the internet works. And they don't have to pay a cent.
They got millions of dollars worth of publicity out of, and it's not positive publicity, obviously, but it's still the H&M brand front and center.
Yes.
Do you think that this was done on purpose, Shauna? That's basically what outrage marketing comes down to. Was it a conscious effort to stir the pot?
Do I think that H&M intentionally put a black kid in a sweater that says monkey in a jungle that could be very construed as very racist mm-hmm. intentionally? It's tough to say yes, because you'd be like, why the hell would you do that?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't, like, you call kids monkeys all the time, right?
I call my baby Brigham, I say, because he looks like a little monkey. I say,
yeah,
you're a little monkey, Brigham.
My mom used to call me monkey. My grandma, that was my nickname, is monkey.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And if you wanted to defend H&M, you could say that maybe they're so colorblind that nobody noticed that, right? They weren't thinking of it like that.
Yeah.
But when you think about the people that are involved in the production of an ad like that, mm-hmm. the people who choose the clothing, who dress them, who take the photos, who edit the photos, who print them, nobody along the line objected at all. No one was like, maybe we shouldn't run this. That's what I have a hard time believing.
Yeah, that it goes through so many tiers of people that you'd think eventually somebody would say something.
And smart, smart people, right? Yeah. Like some of the best advertising minds in the business. And nobody objected along the lines of that. That's,
I know.
That's where...
It is hard to believe. It is hard to believe. But that's ridiculous. If they purpose...
You know, even us, if we're going to, you know, do something that we think is maybe on the border, mm-hmm. we'll run it through a few people at the station here and say, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And someone will say, I don't know, it could be construed like this, or you could get... So, and they didn't do this?
Like, if I saw that picture, I don't know if I would clue in. I would just be like, that's a cute sweater. That being said, as you said, there is a lot of people, and someone would, at least many people probably, you'd think would.
I agree with you. I don't think I would, my mind would jump right there either, but we're also not involved in the production of this.
That's it, so. And especially when it's your job to make sure that is not the case, that there's no things that will offend people in your advertising campaigns. If that's your job, you'd think that you would catch this.
That's what I'm thinking.
Man, so, outrage marketing is getting out of hand.
At least we're keying in on it, though. That's the important thing, is to recognize it. It's still going to happen, but you got to be on high alert for it.
As you say, stay woke.
Stay woke.
The BHS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
After we did that segment on the air, we got an email from our friend Fred, and we actually had considered getting Fred to come on and discuss this with us because Fred is black. Mm-hmm. Well, Fred is he's half black. He's half Japanese. He's originally from Cleveland. We thought he would have maybe a different perspective on this than we would.
Yeah.
But Fred emailed me like the second we finished that, and this is what Fred said. He said, it's 2018. To say that you didn't think about that shit is bullshit. To say, oh, we're Sweden, we don't have those kinds of issues. Bullshit. It's a well-known issue around the globe. If you are going to market to people in North America, at least pretend to have a fucking clue. Sorry for the expletives this morning, but it's right up there with the Washington Redskins and unfortunately my Cleveland Indians. You know goddamn well you're offending people. Stop it. It's like some passive-aggressive shit. You know when Happy Gilmore is talking to Shooter at the bar and he's all, I know what you're doing and I don't like it. That's me.
Yeah. Well, and that's... We went back and forth on this because I don't know. As I said, I wouldn't catch it. So I'm looking at it from my perspective. And I was like, if I were to see the picture of this kid mm-hmm. wearing that sweater, I'd probably be like, that's a cute sweater. I would not think anything more of that.
And you want to believe that people are better than that.
Yeah.
But
again, as I said, if you are a trained marketing person, if you are up in a high level... part of this company mm-hmm. and your job is to review these types of things before they go into mass production for anything that may offend.
You're not doing a very good job.
No, you didn't catch it.
Fred said he's down to join us on the air next time we do need a black voice on an issue or a Japanese voice.
Yeah.
Or ideally both.
Oh my God.
That would be the ideal story where
when
Fred
we need
be
a
like,
black Japanese person.
Well, as a black man and then just moments later as a Japanese man.
Yeah, it would be that's, like, just 20 minutes or less. The Prime Minister Rawwater was skiing at Revelstoke over the weekend. Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Prime Minister Holistic Medicine.
Prime Minister Barefeet.
Prime Minister, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
Prime Minister Cottage Cheese.
What?
It's healthy. It's good for you. But of course, he got a whole bunch of photo opportunities, and there's lots of people posting with him, and he is in his goggles, and he's got his snowboard, his shred stick, and everything, and... He, of course, had a security team with him. That's fairly unique when he goes snowboarding as well.
Yeah, because I remember he did this in Vancouver a while ago, and I think he went to Whistler.
Yeah.
And he had to find RCMP officers that could accompany him that mm-hmm. could also keep up with him.
Yes.
So, which is kind of cool. I think that would be a lot of fun if you were assigned for the day to the Prime Minister's detail and you just got to snowboard with him. That'd be fun.
No kidding.
It'd be lots of fun.
How did they do they make you test out, do a trial run? He like stands down there with a timer trying to figure out how long you're going to take. Nope. Too slow. Next.
But when we first heard about this, that he was going to be snowboarding in Whistler, we deployed a special edition of our segment, Snowboard Cops.
Yes.
Snowboard Cops!
Secret Service Edition!
They're in earshot, Secret Service snowboard cops.
Snowboard cops!
Snowboard cops!
A snowball! Down, Mr. Prime Minister!
Agents, barrel roll out.
I've secured the fun box. Bring him through.
There's a threat. Get in the groomer.
In the groomer?
It's bulletproof. We pimped it out.
Snowboard cops!
They're dressed in black and they've got Trudeau's back.
Snowboard cops!
Snowboard cops!
Secret Service Edition.
X92.9. So that Fort McMurray Facebook page that I'm a part of that's given us so many goodies in the past, namely, as we just mentioned, the woman who was asking how to cook the dead bird on the side of the road.
Well, she just picked up the dead bird and brought it home, and then everyone else was like, you need to cook and eat that.
She was trying to ask what it was, is how it started. She goes, what is this? It's dead in my... And then they're all like, that's good eating, ma'am.
Wait till your husband gets home. Have him cook it up for you. It's like, that's a bird you found on the road.
Toss it in the fridge until he gets home, and then he'll throw it.
It wasn't just like one or two comments. There was like 100 comments of people telling her, eat that dead bird.
Yeah.
Eat that roadkill bird.
Yeah, it was, my God. It's amazing. That page, though, has... I went surfing through it last night again because it popped up, and I was like, oh, I haven't been on this page for a while, and it has some magical things listed. There's a lot of things that they try and sell on this page now as well. So I just wanted to... mention some to you so you know. The first thing that a woman was selling was shirts that say, every great mom drops an F-bomb. So it was a post for...
Oh, that is Fort McMurray, hey?
Every great mom drops an F-bomb shirt. They're going quick.
Yeah.
Would you like one?
When little Jackson's acting up and you're like, ah!
It's not that it's not necessarily true. It's just, you know, you don't necessarily... want that on a shirt.
Yeah, every great mom does drop an F-bomb every once in a while. You just generally don't put it on a shirt unless you're in Fort McMurray.
Yeah. The next thing is, anybody got the link to the video where trucks are hitting the bump on the highway south of Anzac and catching air? Friend doesn't believe we caught 8 feet of air in the truck off it.
Well, I kind of want to see that, too.
I do.
That sounds pretty crazy.
It sounds crazy. Just
8 feet of air in a truck?
In their truck. That's good. Where did you buy a dartboard? Scorekeeper, sorry, was just in there as well, which good.
Mm-hmm.
Plaid shirts for sale, now only $30. I seen they're a bit small fitting.
That's a good deal. But if you've seen their small fitting, then it's probably not going to fit a big fella like me, right?
It's true. And then looking for a white doctor suggestions.
Oh my God.
And I was just like surfing through. Oh my God.
Looking honestly, for a doctor, preferably white.
Yes, yes. I think that might have been exactly how it was worded.
Oh,
it was,
my God.
Yeah. No, has to be white, though, not preferably.
Requirements must be white.
Yeah.
Oh, Fort McMurray.
Yeah, between that and the F-bomb shirt. It's like their inspirational white girl saying for Fort McMurray.
Come to the doctor's office in your F-bomb shirt with your kids. Looking for a white doctor. Oh my God, man.
Come on.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.